BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasodhi. Now, in October 2011, the arrest of more than three dozen people on drug charges at the Boeing military aircraft plant highlights the growing problem of prescription drug abuse by U.S. workers. Now, they were selling or trying to buy painkillers and anti-anxiety drugs at the company's suburban Philadelphia plant. Now, we've heard of that, right? Of course, more prominent and, you know, what we've heard of recently, Michael Jackson's death was a perfect example of prescription drug abuse. Now, the prescription on-demand culture wiped out, of course, people like Elvis Presley as well as Marilyn Monroe. So, in to tell us more about this is Dr. George Lee, our consultant urologist. What have you gotten yourself into? Whatever happened to men's health?
Yes, whatever happened to erectile dysfunction?
But hey, you know, we can't be talking about men's health every day now.
Of course not. I love these challenges. In fact, I had a patient who I saw about 5 minutes ago before rushing here who asked me, what are you going to talk about today? I said, I have no idea. I will just leave my fate to Mira's hand. And then he said, I don't believe you. And now you do believe me now.
Oh, yes, I do.
Because when I actually, the first time I knew this is what I was going to talk about was when I was listening to you talking about the show.
The forward cell.
That's
you
right.
were driving here.
That's right.
So you had no time to research.
Well, I did think about do a U-turn and then come up with an excuse that this is it's an emergency in a hospital. Truthfully, Mira, I don't know what's got into you. Like, you know, last week it was all very heavy and then this week it's also very heavy. I love these things.
I do.
I'm like, you know, the dark side of the budget and then now this.
The dark side of prescription drugs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you think, you know, prescription medication is actually killing more people than illicit drugs?
I think there are two ways of looking at it. I think there is an intended abuse and there's a non-intended abuse. Both of them are big scale problems. Let's talk about the intended abuse first. Intended abuse, presumably, are medications that actually are relieving pain or relieving anxiety.
Okay.
So these are the ones that you're talking about wiping out our idols such as Marilyn Monroe and, you know, Elvis Presley and that sort of things. And then it is either the constant desire in order to consume these medications in order to alleviate anxiety or to alleviate pain. Whether the pain exists or not, it's difficult to argue. And then so is it addictive? Some of them may be, some of them may not be. So those are the issues that we want to talk about. And of course, you know, I've got the case examples to do that.
Right.
And, you know, one thing that I really am quite keen for the general public perhaps to participate is that, of course, we're talking about prescriptive medications. In our country, do you think it is too easy to gain access to prescriptive medications? I think that's one question I would like to pose to the listeners. Without prescription. So prescriptive medications, which are supposed to be able to obtain with a formal prescription from a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
However, do you think in our country it's way too easy to do that?
Okay.
I know for sure in countries like Singapore, if a pharmacy is actually reported to dispense any medications without prescriptions, and then this pharmacy will be removed.
Revoked.
And they treat it quite seriously. I'm sure there are similar law in our country, and how much of that is being implemented is a big question mark. I don't really know. So I'm quite keen to see what the general public perceive that to be.
Okay, what do you think? Give us a call. The number is 0377109000.
Okay.
Or you can tweet BFM Radio, text us.
Right. Let's talk about the unintended abuse.
Okay.
Get that out of the way first. That's a boring stuff, which I initially wanted to talk about, right? Okay. Because not so juicy.
Right.
Because I initially wanted to discuss that, you know, there are unintended abuse. For example, antibiotics. You know, some people actually take, they suddenly feel that they have a urinary tract infection and they suddenly decided to go and to the pharmacist and say, look, I just needed penicillin.
Yep.
And then, of course, you know, after inquiring whether the patient has any allergies and so on and so forth, the patient usually is given antibiotics. Unfortunately, a lot of people actually do not comply to antibiotics taking. So that's unintended abuse. You take the medications, the bacteria will subsequently develop some sort of resistance, and that is a big killer.
Of course.
Because literally, that will develop antibiotics, a resistance to certain antibiotics, and the bacteria eventually will become a big, big problem for both the patients and also physicians. That's the reason why we have such huge problems in antibiotic resistance in our country.
Right, it becomes a macro level, isn't it? You don't comply, and as a result, if all of us don't comply, then it becomes a nationwide problem.
Absolutely.
A worldwide problem.
Yeah,
not so much with you per se now, but in time to come, you will build up this resistance.
Correct. I mean, it may affect you in a micro level mm-hmm. if you don't take it, according to compliance. And then later on, for yourself, you may need intravenous antibiotics and eventually might develop to something that is more and more resistant. So that is a possibility. The second possibility is that you may affect in a macro level, in the bigger scale.
Right. Okay. And that was really quick. Because Twitterer Sharon Abdulmalik, he has texted to say, yes, they are easy to get.
Right, okay. Okay. So we have response now.
Yes.
I mean, which is great, you know. So at least we have something. I mean, to be on the other side of the fence, truthfully, I did actually try to see whether I would be able to gain access to certain medication, mm-hmm. which is a painkiller, which is prescriptive only. And I was being asked to show prescription, and then I was denied access to medication.
Yeah, they must have smelt the fact that you were, you know, a doctor.
Dodgy. Not doctor, but I must have looked pretty dodgy, really. So, I mean, for the texter, I mean, perhaps you would like to tell us that what sort of medication is easily accessible. I mean, of course, I think certain people will find it difficult to believe that morphine or pethidine control medication will be easily accessible. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe this is freely accessible in our country.
Of course. So if you've had that experience, why don't just give us a call? I mean, we're not going to take you to task for it, but, you know, give us a call.
A general idea about how easy it is to gain access to medication.
Sharon Abdulmalik, the number to call is 0377 109,000. You know, George, you were talking about non-compliance. Why is it people don't keep to that ritual of taking medications?
Wow, actually, because it's terrible. It's disgusting. Medicine is just disgusting.
It's tedious.
It is tedious. I mean, if you look at certain studies about compliance, number one, lack of compliance is efficacy. So if the drug itself is good enough, so you have urinary tract infection, your blood in the urine, difficulty passing urine and pain, after taking two tablets, the pain disappears. Mm-hmm. So the immediate reaction is, I'm okay now. I don't need to take that. That's the first problems that people face whenever they actually have poor compliance.
Okay.
Second problem is actually forgetful, because every day, in order to invest your time, your energy, your money, to pop a pill in your mouth, actually, it's very difficult to even show something like a high blood pressure medication or high cholesterol medication can sustain a compliance of more than 7 to 8 months.
Wow, okay. And also, some people may be unsure of the instructions or, when to take them. Maybe it hasn't been conveyed to them properly.
Absolutely. I mean, we all have very limited time to explain to patient, and patient forgets, and sometimes look through all the instruction. Incredibly tedious. That may be one of the blaming factors.
Okay. Hi, Lisa. What has been your experience?
Well, I must say that lately it has been quite difficult to get Stilnox. It's not so easily accessible compared to maybe 2-3 years ago from the pharmacy or even from the GP.
Okay. So Stilnox, presumably you take that as a sleeping tablet.
Actually, I don't take it as a sleeping tablet. The problem is because I have vertigo.
Yeah.
So I have difficulty lying on my back, straight on my back. So, because of that, I have to rely on Stilnox at times. Not because I can't sleep. It's more of I can't lie down on my back.
So
flat.
Presumably,
raise up the pillow. Yeah.
Yeah. Presumably, in the past, you had the experience of easy access to these medications.
Yes. I had. I could get it from the GP. I could even get it from the pharmacy, but not lately.
Not lately.
So now let's say, I only get it from the hospital. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you go to the pharmacist and then actually. Obviously, give very good histories of your, vertigo, and then also discussing that you previously taken this before. Do you think they were just flatly denied and then said, "Look, I must have a formal prescription before you do that"?
No, they just told me that they don't sell this medicine at their clinic.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
And they don't carry this medicine in our clinic. Right. Yeah.
Do you go to the same places all the time, Lisa?
Oh no, I try to be very innovative. Yeah, a few.
So yeah, a few of them, all of them denied it.
Thanks very much for sharing your thoughts, Lisa.
Okay, no problem.
Bye-bye. Bye. Bye. See, that's exactly how you become... I mean, would someone like Lisa be able to get addicted to the medication that she's taking?
Well, I mean, if you take it responsibly, and I really think that, you know, with a guidance of a doctor, it's difficult to actually, ended up having addiction problems. However, without the guidance of the doctor or the physicians, one would actually easily being... lured into this constant, because it is actually taking medications which potentially have tolerance, addictions, abilities without any supervisions. And that itself, your body will build up needing more, and then your body will build up wanting more. So that is part of the basis of addictions.
Right, but don't you get immune to it after a while?
Well, that's tolerance, because if you immune in the sense that you take 1 milligram in a beginning to take start off with, and then later on you realize that 1 milligram doesn't work anymore, you want more and more and more, and that is tolerance.
Okay, yeah. When we come back, we'll find out how Dr. George actually profiles the abuser on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Meera Sivasuthi. Dr. George Lee in the studio with me. We're discussing something interesting today. We're trying to find out whether prescription medication actually kills more people than illicit drugs. We've got some feedback via text messaging as well. Dr. Raja says it can be easily obtained. It's business to the pharmacies.
All right, okay. I mean, obviously we have a different side of the coins, you know. On one hand, a lot of people said it is very easy, you know, easy, accessible. On the other hand, you know, for myself, I have tried it before, and Lisa is a proven kind of examples of trying to gain access to this medication and find it difficult. Okay. So I guess the system is evolving, and I also think it's medication dependent, because, you know, certain medication even is prescriptive. Like, for example, you know, let's go for the blue pill. You know, for example, PDE5 inhibitors. Let's say it's for sexual dysfunction. Mm-hmm. A lot of pharmacists will probably understand that this is a medication that, although it's prescriptive, and then would give it out quite easily, right, because the sufferers may be a bit embarrassed. I can tell you that, you know, every time I prescribe these medications for my patients, and my patient will say, you know, in your hospital is too expensive because hospital markup is too high. But when I negotiate with my pharmacist outside, if I'm a regular customer, they will give me extra discount. And then I say, oh, what, without prescription? And then they say, absolutely, as long as they know that, you know, I'm not, there's no contraindications with other medication, then they will dispense it for me. And I find that quite surprising that, you know, a lot of medication actually is purchased over the counters, even though they are supposed to be prescriptive.
Okay, you know, because of such frightening statistics in the US, in 2010, the numbers treated for prescription painkillers abuse rose 400% over the last decade. And because of such statistics, President Barack Obama, his administration has launched a fight against a prescription drug abuse epidemic. Do you think that's an exaggeration? I mean, do you find people coming in to see you for such purposes, or are you going to tell me the truth or not?
Well, actually, to be truthful, I don't really think we have the statistics to show that.
Yep.
Because, you know, abuse of a prescription, presumably in the United States era, it will be recorded, because, you know, for somebody who actually will have a diagnosis of prescriptive drug abuse made in the clinic, and then also the record of the drugs being dispensed in the pharmacy, then we actually have specific statistics to show that. In our countries, when there's lack of statistics like that, addiction medicine, presumably it's in not really quite prevalent in our country. It's still a big taboo to talk about addictive medicine. I really think that we don't really have a very robust statistic to show whether how the best scale or the problems. I mean, on my side, I guess, having worked in the UK, I worked in this hospital called Hillingdon Hospital in part of my training. Actually, Hillingdon is just a hospital adjacent to Heathrow Airport.
Okay.
That's right. And then there are two or three things very unique about Heathrow Airport Hospital. Number one is that the number of drug traffickings going through Heathrow Airport is probably the biggest in the country, or in the world. Mm-hmm. And then it's very unique how they can actually... creative in their way of trafficking drugs into the country.
Right.
So usually the drugs are packaged into little capsules, and then they're ingested by pregnant women, and actually so that they will not undergo the whole scrutiny, yep, like normal people. But of course, you know, they get caught. When they get caught, they actually get locked up in a special toilet associated cubicle in the hospital.
Right.
So the custom officers is purely just waiting there in order to collect these, because they are worth millions. Right. And on top of that, the doctors are on standby just in case one of the capsules ruptures. And then, of course, it will cause life. Two lives, in fact, one the baby and the other one is the adult.
Right.
So under those circumstances, you're always taught to identify people who are trying to get prescriptive medications. Okay. So I know certain ways to profile people.
So how do you
that.
Do that? I want to find out, because the prescription drug abusers, would you say they are different? Would you profile them differently to the illicit drug abuser?
Because
some people are.
There are really, really obvious ones and they're not so obvious ones. Okay.
Because many people argue that they often don't fit the profile of a drug abuser.
Correct.
It's a drug abuser.
Absolutely. They are professionals, they dress well, but there's certain things that is very, very telltale sign. They're too clever.
Okay, we'll come back. Let's hear from our Twitterer. Okay, we just lost the line. That's okay. Sharon was on the line just now. Sharon, okay. Can you call back, please? Because we sort of weren't able to get that call from you. Just hold on. I think he's coming back. Sharon?
Waiting in anticipation. I love that. You know, I can hear my heart pounding.
His line keeps dropping. That's okay. All right. You want to continue? How do you profile?
Okay, right. Okay. You're absolutely right. The typical drug addicts are the ones who probably a bit unkempt, and then they will be coming up with all sorts of stories, telling you something quite perfect. You know, like, for example, a stone. In my line of work, it will be kidney stones, mm-hmm. You know. Typically, I will get somebody who will turn up to the clinic and then actually say, I'm in intense amount of pain. Intense. And the description...
So you've got to be a bit of a dramatist as well, isn't it?
Well, you need to be a good actor.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have to go past my really, really sharp-eyed nurses because they have seen it all before. You know, Nurse Wong is listening all the time and she knows she can smell rat if you are a drug abuser. If you come through the clinic and then, you know, and specifically complain of left loin to groin pain or right loin going to pain associated with nausea and vomiting... And then also, I've got blood in the urine, and then and it make you quite restless, you know, and pacing up and down. Nothing you can do or eat, nothing you can do to make it feel better. And then also, very telltale sign is that I'm allergic to Panadol and, non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. I'm only morphine can relieve the pain.
Right.
And Nurse Wong will say, yeah, right.
Okay, we'll come back. Yeah. Hi, Sharon. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Actually, I want to share the experience of one friend, a drug abuser.
Sure.
He used his old grandmother names in the local clinics here.
Right.
So what happened is he went to the clinic and take the prescribed medicine on behalf of his grandmother, mm-hmm. and he abused the medicines. So that's how normally people do it, because sometimes older people are very less accessible to clinics.
Right.
So they take advantage of it.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that with us. I mean, obviously, you know, how old are you, Sharon?
I'm 31 years old.
31 years old. I mean, you know, from your experience, do you think in our country, abuse of prescriptive drugs like that, like, this friend of yours who, you know, this is the method that they do it, do you think it is a big problem in our country?
I don't know, because sometimes my late grandmother also suffered the same pain. I also go to the clinics and mention my grandmother's names and just pick it up and give it to her.
Right.
You just pay for the medicines.
Okay.
So one way or another, I'm not sure on this.
Sure, but obviously based on your...
Based on my experience, because I'm a good man, so I'm not going to abuse the drugs, but I have friends who abuse it and use it, you know, in such way.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Sharon, for calling.
Okay.
Bye-bye. See, there you go.
It is. I mean, it just proved that, you know, if you can't get it over the counter, there are innovative ways, you know. And Lisa was talking about going to different pharmacies and then actually, you know, tell them different stories. And then some people will actually use their relative or their grandmother's prescription in order to get that.
Sure. Just before we go on to some of the solutions to this problem, LTY on the line.
Hello.
Hi, LTY.
Hello, Mira, Dr. Josh. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
My question is about antidepressant and sleeping pill. All right.
Sure.
Now, the especially William, no, Dr. Josh William. Mm-hmm. I read many years ago that the abuse of this will lead to a desire to commit suicide. Is there any statistic regarding this, Dr. Josh?
Side effects, then.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, certain SSRI and this group of medications that actually is used for antidepressants actually will alter neurotransmitters in the brain. And then there are reported cases that a higher dose of these abuse may actually lead to suicide intention. Indeed, it is true. Yeah.
Okay. Another thing, Dr. George, can we purchase a sleeping pill from pharmacy?
Well, I mean, I don't utilize sleeping pills. And then in most hospitals...
I don't know, so.
Yeah, Lisa, who earlier on tried to talk about, you know, using going to a pharmacies in order to purchase sleeping pills and actually was denied access to it.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that these would be controlled medications that a lot of pharmacies probably will choose not to stock it because there will be too many layers of bureaucracy in order to dispense such medications.
Okay, Dr. Jones, let's take a hypothetical situation.
Yes.
If I want to commit suicide, okay, I go and see various doctors. Yeah. Doctor will prescribe, you know, each doctor will maybe a handful or two or three, you see? So it's easily, you know, to get all these pills for the purpose of committing suicide.
Sure, I mean, there is room for abuse, LTY, just not for committing suicide, but, you know, for various reasons as well. And that's what we're trying to sort of figure out here. Where the loopholes, you know, where can we actually plug it, that sort of thing. So,
okay, thank you very much, Mira.
Thank you.
Very much. And Dr. Josh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I mean,
see, LTY is correct. I mean, you know, if you want to abuse it, you can abuse it.
Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, there are youngsters who abused, you know, the canister,
glue
spray,
sniffing.
The glue sniffing. Mm-hmm. And then there are people who may abuse, you know, paracetamols. And so there are many, many ways of doing it. But the thing is that what we're trying to, like you said, trying to find out is that do we truly have problems like what Sharon described, that people will actually abuse prescriptive medications such as painkillers and also tranquilizers.
Right. I mean, we often hear of urine tests and things like that, you know, especially people who use performing enhancing drugs in the sports arena. But do you have detection mechanisms for people who abuse prescriptive drugs or medications?
Well, I mean, we talked about profiling certain people, and I don't actually have any way of doing it. But in fact, once I find out, I also don't know what to do with them.
Yeah, how do you prove it?
That's right. Okay, I mean, coming back to, you know, you said a typical person that my nurse Miss Wong will detect, you know, instantly when you come up with such perfect stories of a kidney stone, and then when you come up with perfect story that you're completely allergic to all medications. Some of them even go a step further. You know, some of them actually, when in your urine, even though it's completely, completely normal, you'll put a drop of your own blood that after biting your finger into your urine in order to make it, you know, and positive for blood.
Oh goodness, I hope we're not giving anyone, you know,
ideas.
Yeah.
Don't worry, there are lots and lots of Miss Wongs out there to sniff any problems, troublemakers.
Right.
And then, but these days, the prescriptive drug abusers are completely different profile. I mean, I want to share a story with you. I mean, somebody who was actually very young, professional, you know, in the, you would imagine that is kind of like in the league of like type 1A personality, you know, constantly on the go, flying from here to there, executive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's turning up, it's a she. And then turning up, asking for prescriptive medications and due to urinary tract infection-induced pain. There is a condition called interstitial cystitis. It is a condition that actually probably occur as a painful bladder syndrome because of repeated infections that actually result in this. So some of these are abusers of ketamine. We discussed this before.
Yes.
But majority of people, ketamine abuse, you can actually more or less tell. However, this lady, whenever she asked for medication, not specifically asking for specific type of medication, just asking for non-steroidal anti-inflammatory. However, whenever she started telling us that, the maid threw away some of the prescriptions she left in her pocket, or her handbag's been stolen, or she left it in the car and then, it's washed in the drain and so on and so forth, then you get a little bit worried because these are the typical profile of somebody who will actually constantly ask for prescriptive medications. And that's when you actually start asking questions. And also, they are a little bit guarded whenever you ask them for test. You know, even though a very simple test, like taking non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, may result in kidney impairment, you just ask for a simple kidney test, they will say things along the line of, I'm very, very busy, I need to go off, I don't have enough time, or I don't particularly feel like, what about doing another day, give me the prescription first. And that is when we get a little bit worried. And I really think these sort of patients is a little bit more difficult to deal with, because the typical kind of like drug abuser, you can actually just flatly say no. But majority of these prescriptive abuser, actually your intention is to help.
Yep.
And then your intention is not to say, look, don't take this medication. Intention is to see how you get the person out of this situation. And that is the difficult part that I always faced.
Okay. Of course, the medical fraternity also comes under fire, because some doctors, some doctors are actually dishing out these prescriptive drugs like candy. Your thoughts? Are doctors asking the right questions before prescribing? Not all of them have nurses like Nurse Wong to help you identify these people.
Well, I can empathize with the situation. You are in a very, very busy clinic. There are 10 patients waiting outside. You have a patient who actually put a bit of pressure on you in order to gain what she wants. And then you're sitting there thinking, do I believe her? Do I not believe her? Do I want to get into details, discussion of this? Will it go any further? If you say no, you have to give a lot of reasons why you say no. So a lot of people may choose easier options just to give it out. And then hopefully that will be the last time that the prescription will be written. So it is, I do empathize, because I've been there before. I was in that situation before. And then I can choose an easy option to give out the medication easily, or I can choose the difficult way of investigating what is the source of the problem.
Okay. Did you empathize with Michael Jackson's doctor?
Propofol is a different matter altogether. I guess, in a serious kind of like a situation, if this lady, a patient of mine, eventually ended up with a lot more stronger medications, and then, will I be in a similar situation? I think that out of no choice, he probably just have to keep the patients comfortable. I truly think that Michael Jackson probably was experiencing a lot of pain. Mm-hmm. However, I think the neglect maybe was to do it in the environment that it was in, a home environment,
right,
rather than hospital environment. I think to some degree safety has been compromised. I think giving patients what is necessary in order to alleviate suffering is crucial, because we're not in a profession to induce suffering. We're in a profession to alleviate suffering. However, whatever we do, when we alleviate that suffering, we have to do in a safe environment with the right monitoring and so on and so forth. That's why in the trial, all these were brought up as an issue.
Yeah.
If these were medications that is given, then it has to be given with responsibilities. It's the same situation with that prescription. You know, every time I use my pen to sign a prescription and with my signature against it, I take the full responsibilities, understanding what contraindication they are, what combination of medications is going to have consequences, and also what sort of safety shortfalls that prescription is going to induce on the person who is receiving it.
Okay. How do you prove if a patient has been non-compliant?
Well, I mean, it's just...
I mean, you have no responsibility.
Well, I know it's like Sharon's description is a perfect description. You know, I'm collecting the prescription for my grandmother. Mm. How do I prove that he is, the friend is actually specifically going to the pharmacy, get this medication, and specifically for the use of the grandmother. It's very difficult indeed.
Fantastic. We're discussing whether prescription medication kills more people than illicit drugs. If you'd like to ask Dr. George a question or you want to contribute to the discussion, we want to know whether you think it's easy to have access to prescription drugs here in Malaysia without a prescription. To give us a call, the number is 03-7710-9000. Tweet BFM Radio or text 016-201-9000.
BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasuthi. With me, Dr. George Lee, consultant neurologist. We're coming up to the tail end of our discussion, actually, on whether prescription medication kills more people than illicit drugs. We want to know whether you think prescription drugs is very easily available in Malaysia, and whether you have been able to obtain it very easily without a prescription from a doctor. Now, George, you know, some people actually abuse prescriptive drugs when they take it together with other abusive substance, mm-hmm. like alcohol, for example.
That's right.
To sort of give you a high. What do you think of that? That is abuse in a way as well.
It is. It is. It's abuse. It's inconsiderate in the proper method of taking it and, irrespect of the instruction that is given. And in fact, actually, it all boils down to why they abused or why they took it in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, perhaps there may be a lot of sorrows, perhaps maybe it was sadness, or, you know, some people are just trying to... they're tense from work, you know, lifestyle or whatever is causing this. I guess, you know, at the end of the day, probably will be useful to gain access to psychologists in order to see whether this addiction can be alleviated.
Okay.
So yes, I would imagine that the addiction will probably go hand in hand with other consumptions of large amount of alcohol and that sort of things. But from so far, the patients that I encounter that actually has such problems actually have no specific inclinations towards other drugs such as morphine or alcohol consumption.
Yeah. I mean, this is easily available.
It absolutely
can be abused compared to the other sort of drugs. Counterfeit medications, widely available on the internet everywhere. I mean, forget the pharmacies, forget the doctors.
I know. This is kind of modern era thing, isn't it? I mean, because when you switch on the computer, when you check your email, there's always these sort of, like, I don't know about you, but, you know, I receive a lot of emails about, you know, mainly sexual dysfunction medications.
Sure, that's because you're a man.
That's, well, I don't know whether you can tell from my email that whether there's a gender, gender specific.
Is it given, isn't it?
Oh, it is, of
unless
course.
Unless you go as Lee Engia.
All right, okay. Or that will be universe. That will be unisex, wouldn't it? No, most people can't even pronounce it, really.
Who would have thought, right?
Yes,
that
I know.
Your name is Lee Engia.
That's right. I'm actually quite proud of that, to be honest with you. I used to feel so...
embarrassed.
Cringed. Whenever
you
someone mentioned
be.
It. No, not anymore. It's a good name.
What does it mean?
I have no idea.
Okay, we digress.
No. Actually, it means everlasting prosperity.
Well, it says a lot, you know.
That's right. Yeah, especially I grow sideways. That's right. Okay. Now, coming back to this situation, yes, you know, counterfeit is a big issue. Counterfeit is a big issue in my field because a lot of people will argue they go for counterfeit medication for sexual dysfunction, perhaps due to
cost
issue, some embarrassment issues. Recently, in conjunction with Malaysia Urological Associations and University of Malaya, I conducted a study asking people would they go for counterfeit medications if they do suffer from erectile dysfunction. In fact, something like staggering 60% of them actually say they would. And then,
wow.
That's right. And then when you ask them, do you think it is safe? Something also 50% of them actually say yes. And then,
but they would still buy it.
They would still buy it. You know, it is quite worrying, because there are multiple reports as suggested that counterfeit may not contain the active ingredients, may be overdosing, underdosing, or even contaminated with other medications. In fact, there are reports from Singapore that some people even die from taking counterfeits because of some of them contaminated with
toxic substances,
diabetic medication. So right. After the diabetic medication has been produced, they're not probably cleaned properly, and then it was produced with the blue pills to follow that.
My goodness,
that's right. And then, so it is worrying that counterfeit is an error. But you know, majority of people who abused these medications, the painkillers and sedatives, they are not doing it because of cost. And then so it's just a different problem. And then also they're not doing it because of embarrassment. They're just doing it because they want to gain access to painkillers or gain access to sedative in order to abuse it.
But they must be getting a feeling out of it. Pain, I can understand, right? Well, for example, Michael Jackson.
Yes.
He was in a lot of pain.
Well, I would imagine that majority of people that you describe, you know, from the Boeing's engineers, and then majority of them probably to start off with had minor pain and then took some medications and then the pain alleviate and then make you feel better. So majority of these are painkillers, abuser. They are not necessarily...
addiction.
They are addicted to painkillers, but they are not necessarily kind of doing it for the high.
Right.
They're doing it for alleviation of certain pain. Like, right. For example, coming back to the lady that I described, I actually completely believe that she was in pain.
Mm-hmm.
Because looking at how she described that she would take the medication in order to avoid the initiation of pain so that she can work, I really think that is the whole basis of her taking more and more medications, irrespective of how much she's taking, irrespective of the consequences such as the side effects. So the way she described it is like, you know, the medication is 2 tablets per day, consumed over 12 hours apart. And she said to me that sometimes she worry in anticipation about the pain, of the pain, and then she will take 6 tablets in one go in order to avoid the pain.
Mm.
So there are 2 issues here. Number one, she built up tolerance over these years. And then number two, actually, she is truly in pain, and in order to avoid that suffering, she is taking it. So she's not doing it for high. She's probably doing it to function.
Mm.
Yeah, because she's working, okay. She's continually active.
The pain is affecting her life.
Correct.
Yep.
So she's doing it to function, but not to do it to get high.
Right.
So my job is to identify why she's doing this, and in order to find out, you
right.
know. And, you know, coming back to my story, and in fact, we found out that she actually was pregnant.
You didn't know that.
Well, she did. She hid it extremely well, and then she was wearing jacket and everything. And then eventually, you know, after a very detailed examination, she was at early stage of her pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I use this as an excuse that, in order to protect your child, I'm afraid I do not want you to take any medication whatsoever, and you kind of have to put up with the pain. You know, we will try all sorts of alternative manner that actually will use different medication in order to avoid you getting into the similar situation.
Right. What happened after?
Well, unfortunately, in our healthcare system, we have the options of doctor shopping. So I guess, you know, if you feel that you can not gain access to certain medications, there's always an option to go for another doctor. So I guess, you know, I like to wish her well. I really don't know what following that, you know, because in the follow-up, she has decided not to turn up. So I really hope that she did not manage to get further painkillers, and actually subsequently find out ways to alleviate her problems rather than using painkillers, because there are other means in order to help her.
Okay. How do you avoid an accidental overdose of prescription medication?
With a lot of difficulties. I mean, like, for example, this lady, in order to alleviate her pain, she needed to take 6 tablets. It's a gross, gross overdose of what she could do. Mm-hmm. And then so even this is non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. It's not addictive. However, it is a complete overdose.
Okay, all right. Clear overdose there.
Completely.
All right. Dr. Raja says, and I don't know whether you agree with him, he says this is more of a Western problem. He seems to see more Caucasians addicted to prescription medications.
Well, the two patients I encountered with such problems, and I spend a lot of time trying to help them, actually are both Asians. So maybe I think in a Caucasian environment, probably highlighted more. I really think that perhaps with less taboo, Caucasian patients are more willing to seek help, mm-hmm. to ask for psychological evaluations and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I think this might be a tip of the iceberg in the Asian community. I don't know, is the answer.
Okay. So your final message, I mean, what would you like everyone to take away from this?
I mean, I think... it may be, I mean, you highlighted something that actually is staggering, and then I didn't know it beforehand. I didn't know that prescriptive drug abuse is such a big problem in USA to the extent that Obama administration actually came up with that, and actually with statistic to prove that it kills more people than cancer
and
diabetes, is it?
Right, no, deaths on the road.
Right, okay. So clearly it's a big problem. Is it a big problem in our country? I don't know. And I really think that with the right education and also dissemination of information, people are a little bit more responsible in terms of consumptions of the medication such as painkillers, and knowing that they may pose a dangers with a lot of side effects.
Yep, for your own good, really. I think you should think about it carefully.
I think so. I really think the medications that you consume, you really ought to consume under the guidance of qualified physicians or a pharmacist.
Thank you very much for joining us.
My absolute pleasure.
Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.